If you've been around the last couple weeks this summer, you know the conversation that we're in, but you've probably had a few sleeps between then and now. So let me just kind of catch us up on where we're at. We've been in this series called One Roar this summer, and we've been looking at how the Hebrew writers in the Old Testament didn't just use the word praise or worship, they gave it specific words, specifically seven different Hebrew words for the word we kind of sum up as, in the English language, praise. And as we unpack these seven Hebrew words, we start to see that the Lord has given us some tools to help us grow in our capacity to respond to God in a lifestyle of worship. That first week, we saw yada, which is to extend the hands. There's an extension of receiving, that we are to receive that which God blesses us with, but also not just an extended hands of receiving, but an extended hands of gratitude, right? Where we are grateful for what we get to offer back to God that is a gift of changing other people's lives as well. And then that second week, we looked at the word yada, and it is this confession of gratefulness. This confession of gratefulness is we confess it, we do it congregationally, we're in this together, and we do it with confidence because of the work that the Lord is doing in us. And last week was zamar, to pluck at a stringed instrument, to use the different instruments in our lives to make music. And this morning, Lauren's with us. Lauren is doing an internship with us this summer. She's a Quincyan. She's away at college right now, but she grew up going to QHS, and just an incredible student who has done a lot around here over the years at Madison Park. But as she is away and this summer coming back, just to learn, what does ministry look like? What does it look like to maybe give my life to be a kingdom worker in the local church, or however God will use her life in ministry outside of the church? We're not sure yet, but today what we're sure of is she's going to help us unpack this fourth Hebrew word. And so, Lauren, just tell us where we're going today.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to be here and also just to be a part of this church day in and day out. But we're focusing on a new word today. Our word is tehillah, and that has a few different meanings that we're going to be looking at.
Tehillah. Hold on, some of these people were going like ta-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Weren't you? You heard tehillah and you're like, hey, I can get down with that. Or I have gotten down with that. Lauren is 21, so she is of age to present us with this word of tehillah this morning.
Yeah, we're going to get down with this word too. So tehillah is used 57 times in scripture, and it means a hymn or a song of praise, and then it also means a new song or a spontaneous song. So we're really going to be focusing on that today. Like Tyler said, I'm a college student. I'll be a senior this fall at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm surrounded by a lot of musical people there. We're in Music City. I have friends who are songwriting majors, who are music business majors, and so maybe you're thinking of a songwriter when I say a new song, and there's a lot of different images that may be coming to your mind. Maybe up on the screen you might find just a few of those possibilities, but as much as I love music, that's not quite what tehillah is or what we'll be focusing on today. Tehillah is not about knowing the right words, coming up with words that rhyme, or even being musically inclined, but it's focusing on storied praise. And I'll say that again, storied praise. And so what that means basically is, how can we make worship a lifestyle by creating songs from our personal experiences, from our stories individually? And we could bring worship outside of the church that way to the rest of our week and to the rest of our lives. So we're going to start by looking at what scripture has to say about tehillah. We're going to be in the Psalms a lot today. We're starting in Psalm chapter 22 if you want to open up your Bibles. But the really cool thing about Psalms is that it's actually translated from the word tehillim. So tehillah is really closely related with the Psalms, and the psalmists were actually masters of taking their stories, taking their personal experiences, and creating storied praise from those. So we're going to start in chapter 22.
So listen to this word, tehillah, used by the psalmist in chapter 22, verse 3. He says, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the Tehillahs of Israel, or the praises of Israel. Unpack that for us, Lauren.
Yeah, this verse seems simple, but what's really interesting is that this is verse 3, right? In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist is saying that he's feeling forsaken by God and that he's feeling abandoned by God. And so how do we get from here to there? Really, how the psalmist got there was he was remembering the story of his people as an Israelite. He was remembering ancient Israel, how God was with his people and how he dwelled among them through praise. And this word enthroned is really neat, too, in this verse because it's focusing on how God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. And same is true for us. When we praise, God sits on that literally as his throne and he dwells with us. And that's a really beautiful way that Tehillah applies back in the Old Testament, but also applies to us now.
Yeah, if you look at that text, notice that word yet. She talked about the psalmist's circumstances, and that word yet's kind of like that word but. But look what the Lord is trying to do with this song. And did you notice that he says, you're holy? Like, the Lord is trying to call his people to be holy, but the Lord himself is holy, holy, holy. And how do we enthrone the Lord for all of his holiness? It says the people of Israel. Israel is God's people. That's the church, right? It's the church's responsibility to enthrone God with our praises, with the songs that we sing, with the song that he is renewing inside of us. This storied praise that you and I live out day by day is what becomes the thing that enthrones the God who is holy, holy, holy. As we people pursue what it looks like for us to be holy. Let's go on in Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. It says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined me and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song, a tehillim, in my mouth, a song of praise, a song of Tehillah to our God. Many see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about there?
This verse is really powerful. The psalmist is saying here he's in the pit of destruction. And I think maybe a lot of us can relate to a time where we felt like we're in the pit of destruction or we're facing a time that's just really dark or really heavy. And I think what's really cool is that God delivers the psalmist. That's what he's talking about in this text. And you can maybe relate to that yourself. God delivered me from darkness in this way or in that way. And so I think it's really cool that when that happens, a lot of times we're called to testify. We're called to share his deliverance, talk about our story, talk about how God played a part in that. And that in itself is Tehillah, is being able to testify that the Lord is faithful and then to be able to share that. And I also really love this line, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. So it wasn't even that the psalmist was able to gift this gift of praise to God because of what God did for him, but that God literally gives us the gift to praise him in return and just kind of shows that dependence that we have on God. And I think it's a really beautiful picture of how we can use the praise that he's given us to glorify it back to him and to move forward in a new direction.
Yeah, this pit of destruction that the psalmist writes about is not the only pit that the scriptures know. It's likely not the only pit that you know. If you have been interacting with a student throughout this summer, our students have all of their summer experiences have been going through the story of Joseph and seeing how in this ancient story of God, he continues to renew the story in present time through us, right? And we've been talking about the pit that they've been in, that Joseph was in, and what does it look like to, in God's timing, be delivered in that? And maybe just this morning, as you resonate with the psalmist and go, man, there might be a new song, but I don't feel like I have anything inside of me. Consider this time, this season. What does it look like for darkness to become light? For deconstruction to become reconstruction. That's one of the tensions I have in our current time frame is everybody wants to deconstruct their faith. Well, deconstructing of our faith is actually a healthy thing if done wisely, because there are certain things that we need to get rid of, certain things that we have wrong. We've imagined them poorly. They don't align with Scripture. They're traditions that don't make biblical alignment. Practices that I have in my life that I'm like, yeah, that's not like Jesus. And there's a place for deconstruction. The problem is you don't just deconstruct and leave it. You have to ask yourself, in your deconstruction, are you willing to see the new song be reconstructed? And who's giving that voice? Lauren told us, right? It's the Lord. It's Jesus who places that song in our heart that we listen to help us reconstruct our faith. Some of you are looking at your life and it just feels like a dusty field. And on a rainy day in July in Quincy, Illinois, that dusty field feels like a really muddy mess right now. And you kind of wonder what that looks like. But what if in this season of dust and mud, the Lord is trying to till up new soil to produce a crop on the other side of this? I'm not much of a gardener, but Lauren, you seem to be.
Yeah, well, as you all know, we've been pulling out a tool every week to kind of help us visualize how can we apply this worship into our lives in a practical way. And today I have a chainsaw. No, I'm just kidding. But I thought it would be fun to pull that out. But that's really not authentic to me. I do garden sometimes, and I have my tiny little garden spade here with us today. But although it's small, I think it has a lot of power. I'll garden sometimes with my mom every year. We have a lot of plants in my house in Nashville. Any plant parents out there? But the really cool thing about this spade is that it can be used to help us make space for something new, right? So whenever we're walking throughout our life, we're kind of walking, you know, with every step. And every step can kind of compact the ground underneath us. And I think that's really symbolic, too, of familiarity. Like, as we keep walking the same path every day, everything becomes familiar, right? And we're not really pursuing anything new necessarily. And the ground gets hard the more that we step and the more that it gets compacted. And so the spade is really helpful in the sense that we can disrupt and we can break up the soil, break up what's familiar. And when we're able to do that, we can create space for a new seed. And the same is true in terms of Tehillah. It's how can we disrupt what we know and trust that God's leading us to a new thing and make space for that in our lives. Plant that, nourish it to let it grow, and see where that takes us. And so that's why I think this is a really important tool that we can use in our lives as worshipers.
When Lauren shared that tool and that thought with me, I'm like, I don't think I'll ever walk on the ground again without a different way of thinking. Am I compacting things down that need to be tilled, or am I packing the right things down so that I have a solid foundation to stand on? And Lauren's got way more muscle than me, because I'm not sure that I would do much work with this little shovel. I use a tiller. But maybe that's because the sin in my life has packed the soil really, really difficult. But what does it look like, Lauren, to take this concept, this thought, and to do, like, what do you do or don't do to have a storied praise come up in your day-to-day living?
Yeah. I think one of the best ways that we can kind of get some new perspective on our stories is to invite others in, right? So being a college student in Nashville, a lot of times, just this past semester, actually, when it ended, I gathered some trusted friends. We all went and got tacos, and we were talking, and we all went around, and we intentionally asked each other, what went well this semester? What can we celebrate? What was really hard this semester, on a personal note, on an academic note? And then we also looked at, how did God move this semester? How did he move in your life, in the good, in the bad? Is he just teaching you something new altogether that you haven't considered before? And so I think being able to do that and being able to get new perspective, hearing my friends' feedback and being like, oh, I've never thought about it that way, and them saying, maybe God is calling you towards this, and how can I listen to what they're saying, pray about it, and then be obedient to following a new direction? And so I think different perspectives on our lives can really help us embrace Tehillah.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about the season of life that you're in. College students, high school students, even junior high students seem to be really open to getting a hold of a group conversation and making sure it's surrounded by something that matters, right? Asking the right question to say, what matters most right now, and am I heading in that direction? And I don't know what it is about age, stupidity, whatever we want to call it as we grow older, like that we stop intentionally gathering with people and saying, hey, this is what's going on in my life. Can you encourage me? Can you inspire me? Can you convict me in what does that look like? And so thank you for giving us that word, because I do think that that's something really practical that would look really good season by season to come in and say, hey, this is the soil I've been walking on. Is this a good soil, a soil that needs tilled, or a soil that needs packed down for a greater foundation? Because we all want to see fruit and vegetation in the seasons to come out of the life that we're currently living. The psalmist, he goes on. He goes on in Psalm 33, 3 through 4. He says, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings. Do you see how oftentimes these words come together? Where we have this tehillah, but we also have this zamar, this plucking away at an instrument that you're gifted at, a tool that you're skilled in using. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all of his work is done in faithfulness. Help us understand that, Lauren.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all like a new song at church, right? It's fun to mix things up a little bit, to worship in a different way. And that can definitely be what this verse means. But I think we can also expand our definition here by thinking about what's an older song? What's a hymn that's really close to our hearts that we have seen impact us throughout many different seasons of our lives? And how can I take that and think about it in a new way in light of what's going on in my life right now? Like, how is this affecting or speaking into my present circumstances? So I think tehillah is really powerful in taking those old songs and renewing them in like our current experience. And that really is all about taking ownership of those songs by taking a song that we know well and connecting it to our lives presently and in new ways.
You've felt this before. Like, you've been there, right? Where you have had the Lord at work in your life, and then you hear a song and it's like, oh, yeah, that song puts words to what the Lord has been doing inside of me. And that song becomes meaningful. And oftentimes we feel this in the way that we share our testimony, right? You have one of those. I once was this, but as Jesus has gotten into my life, I am now becoming this. And I'm not done yet, but I'm still becoming more and more of what he wants to produce new inside of me. The Bible has words for that too. The Bible says that is to bear witness. I saw this and I responded to this. The New Testament writers would say, we saw Jesus, we bore witness to the great work of Jesus, the saving King. Lauren, what does it look like to foster this? Hey, I need to put words to my testimony. I need to put words to what God is actually stirring inside of me, between my head, my heart, and out of my life.
Yeah. I think if you're able to construct those words out of your own experience, that's awesome. I think we can also just do this with all of the many, many worship songs that we already have at our disposal. And just lean into the lyrics and the messages of those songs with your attitude and with your posture, whether you're listening to them or not. So if you're in, like, really feeling connected to a song about dependence and depending on the Lord and abiding in him, then think about, how can I embody this message by trying to practice humility in my day to day and exemplifying worship to others? If you're really loving a song about the freedom that we have in God and just being really thankful for the freedom that he offers you in this present season, how can I choose joy and how can I spread joy in my life in a way that's going to glorify God? And so I think when we can embody the message and therefore share these songs of tehillah with others, that we're able to just share these songs day by day, no matter what environment we may find ourselves in.
Absolutely. I love what we're doing here by looking at the Hebrew and the seven words that we find of praise in the Old Testament, because it reminds us that this has been going on for a long time, that God started out writing new songs and that the new song isn't done being written. And that's what is helpful as we see in the New Testament that isn't written in the Hebrew, it's actually written in the Greek, that though the words shift, the principles don't. The standards don't. And so we have this word tehillah in the Old Testament, and Paul doesn't have that Hebrew word to use in the Greek to write down, but he doesn't leave behind the toolbox, the tool of tehillah. And so let's listen in as you read, Lauren, Colossians 3:16 for us.
Yes, it says, "The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts."
What does this look like? Well, most of the songs that we sing, we kind of come into, and all the hard work of getting that song to where it is has been done by a group of other people. They've written it, they've walked through the toil, they've walked through the emotion, and then we get to use their lyrics to do that. And don't miss the fact that these songs don't just show up out of a computer file. These are real things that God has done. We've sang this song before, Good, Good Father, right? We've heard that song. We've used it as our anthems at different times because of our circumstances. And we said, "You're a good, good father. Regardless of my circumstances, that's who you are." Well, that's a man who sat in a small group with a person who had cancer. And week by week, they would pray for this person to be delivered from the miracle of her circumstances. And the Lord didn't deliver her from cancer, but the Lord was with her in her cancer. And this other guy from this group, as this is happening, he just feels welled up inside of him that maybe healing isn't what this moment needs, but rather a new song. And so he just starts singing what the Lord lays on his heart, and he just starts declaring over her with the group, "He's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. He's a good, good father." And then they just kept going, and the group started declaring that he's a good father around this lady. And out of that group setting, they produced a song that has helped so many people recognize who God is, kind of the nature and the character. And sometimes we go like, "Yeah, that's somebody else's story. They're good songwriters. I'm not a songwriter. I don't play an instrument. I can't even speak in tune, let alone sing in tune. I'm sitting in my living room." For a long period of time, I had been counseling this couple toward premarital work, toward getting married. And during the process, the young lady had some tremendous mental health issues, and they just kept progressing and getting worse. And I had worked with this couple and the fiance man to figure this out. And as we were coming toward what looked to be some really difficult decisions, he was staying with Jenny and I and our family as he was trying to help his fiance on-ramp toward a healthy thing by off-ramping the pressure of their relationship. And I would just listen from my kitchen, and oftentimes we would go in as a family, and he would just pick up his guitar, and he would just start singing and just start listening to what the season was doing. And then he would produce a lyric out of this. And sometimes it was just my family. Sometimes it was other friends of the situation that were over there. And then as the situation became worse, the fiance ended up taking her own life. And he gathered back at my house as we mourned that and we prepared for the celebration of her life. And a bunch of friends and family gathered in the living room of my house. And we started just singing this song that this horrendous situation within this guy. And he was able to produce a new song because of what Jesus was doing in him. And at the celebration of life, that song got played, and it was a celebration in which we were all able to say, "Man, this is difficult. As difficult a thing as I've ever seen somebody have to walk through in such close proximity." And the Lord was producing a new song and healing in that new song.
Absolutely. And I think this really shows us that Tehillah can be about nurturing and fostering our relationship with God, right? But just as important, maybe more important, it's also about looking to our left and looking to our right and saying, I can use this new song, this spontaneous song that God has raised about in me to help encourage others who are going through really difficult things, or maybe who aren't and are just seeking direction. And God can place a word on my heart that I can use to guide them. And so that really just demonstrates that Tehillah is not just about my individual relationship with God, but it's also for the benefit and for the encouragement of others.
Some songs come out of really heavy circumstances. Other songs come out of challenges that they're just, life's exciting and the Lord is producing something new. And Lauren, we were at Element this past week with 87 high school students, and we saw a lot of Tehillah happening, right? Where people were like, this is new to me. This is scary. This is unknown. This is something that I've never done. And we saw groups of people coming around each other, and it wasn't just students that were being challenged. I remember multiple times throughout the week, you saying, like, I feel like the student, as these students become sponsors and lead me through challenges. And I've been there, and I am there, where sometimes you're not sure what your role is, you're just really grateful that we're in this together. Just talk for a minute about what did it look like this week to kind of see in real time this storied praise develop?
Yeah, I think new things can be really daunting, right? That's especially true when you're climbing rocks or doing a high ropes course or going whitewater rafting. But one thing I heard students saying over and over again was, looking at their sponsor, looking at their friend who's also a student, saying, I'm so glad you pushed me to do blank, because they didn't think on their own that they would be able to do it. But through their friend's encouragement, through them pushing them to do a new thing, they realized it was possible. And I think that really is powerful that high schoolers are realizing that. And now we can look at that too and say, we can look to one another and encourage each other on to new things and to moving closer to the Lord.
Yeah. This Tehillah is a big deal, but it's also a scary deal, because when the Lord starts to stir inside of you, there's some vulnerability there of like, am I going to listen to what he's stirring and allow something new to come out of that? And Lauren, I know you well enough to know that you are incredibly respectful in doing this, but would you just challenge us as a church a little bit? Would you push us a little bit toward this idea of a Tehillah praise, a storied praise, a new song that might be welled up in this season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think practically, if we look around our world right now, it's pretty different than what we're used to, right? We're coming out of a pandemic, and there's a lot of change happening in our society, and I think there's also a lot of change that's happening in the life of the church. I think we've all had to get creative in how we engage people for the church, with the church, and as the church. We're not really strangers now to Zoom. We understand social media maybe a little bit better now than we did a few years ago. And I think we've all really had to get creative to make our normal routines happen in the midst of all of this change, right? Whether that's getting creative with your job, getting creative within your family. And I think that's all great to maintain healthy routines where we can. But I also think when we look at the church and where we're at right now and all of this change that's coming about, what if rather than reverting to or just slightly adjusting our old normal, what if God may be calling us all to something new, entirely new, all together as a church and as a collective body? And God has been doing this since the Old Testament. If we look at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 19, it says, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert."
That's a verse to hold on to. That's a verse to mark in your scriptures, put a tab in it, and to go back to, right? When the Lord is welling up a new song and it creates tension and hard and vulnerability, to grab hold of that and to actually engage with that text and to say, behold, to look at the Lord, to put your focus on the Lord, and it will be him that you can trust to guide you through the wilderness wandering, because he is doing in that space with you, with me, with Lauren, with us, he is doing something. He's creating a new thing, a new song, a tehillah, something that we can write together. How do we take ownership of this?
I think individually, this can look like a lot of different things. Really, the focus is just that we are taking ownership of our worship. That can look like what I talked about earlier a little bit, taking that old song and saying, how can I make it new, right? How can I make a story or take my story or maybe my friend's story and the lives of others, and how can I make a song out of that that's an encouragement? How can I experience an existing song anew? Also, how can I maybe get out of my comfort zone a little bit? Try out a spontaneous song in your car driving to work. And you may be thinking, I'm not sure about this, and I think that's okay. I tried this out in preparation for this sermon, and it was a little uncomfortable at first, even though it turned into this really beautiful moment that I had with God. But I think, Tyler, how do we just, you know, remember the purpose behind trying these new things and getting out of our comfort zone?
I think we have to reach back to the scriptures at times and remind us what this is all about. If we think only about the new song, we make it about the song, which makes it about how are we going to perform within that song. And that's the wrong look, right? That's not a gospel look. Take your eyes off of yourself and the worry of, is this going to be a good song on the other side of this? And do what the text tells us, do what the gospel tells us, to put ourselves on the who and the why and trust the who and the why to produce the what and the how, right? The who is Jesus, right? He's the one who writes these new songs on our lives. And the why? It's because he's holy, holy, holy. And being a holy God, he longs to redeem us in and toward the direction of our holiness in him. That's what we have to keep going back. Behold the Lord. Look at Jesus. Trust the gospel with your tehillah.
Yeah. I think when we look at how can we apply this together as a church, not just individually one-on-one, we are really blessed to be a multi-generational church. And I think really what is important is that we take my generation, the newer generation, we're bringing in energy, right, into this new season. And I think we look for this new song. And then we also have present generations, and we have older generations that are singing a refreshed song for a new season. And we have these amazing experiences that we can learn from and that we can take with us. And this energy and experience are of equal importance. And so I think as we honor and respect one another, we have to maintain humility before God and before each other in order to move forward as the church into a new thing in a healthy way, by looking at energy and looking at experience. And as we honor and respect one another, as we tehillah, I think we can enter this new unknown in the life of the church in strength and in unity, and also in the image of Christ's bride, because that's who we are called to be in him. And just notice as we move in this new direction together, as we embrace the strengths of one another, how tehillah can change our hearts. Notice what's happening as we take our hearts and we align them with God and with his will for the church and his plans moving forward. And as we look at our own stories and our experiences and praise him, I think that's where we're going to find the new rhythms that God is desiring for our lives.
We live in the present. We look in the past and see a tehillah, but sometimes it's important to look into the future and see the tehillah that is ultimately going to be sang. Let me just end our time together in the scriptures this morning with this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 said, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" The Lord promises that he's producing a new song. So this morning, I just ask, are you willing? Are you allowing the Lord to write a new song in your life? And are you willing to join us as the Lord helps us as a church continue to live and write within this new song?
Yeah. We're going to enter a time of Tehillah right now collectively as a church. We're going to sing a new song to begin this new journey. And it's called I Speak Jesus, and the worship team is going to lead us in that. But I just encourage you, as we enter into this time of worship, can you worship in hope and worship in thanks for the new work that God is doing in you and that God is doing in the church? Worship in a way that speaks to your story. So we're all going to stand up together and get ready to worship. And let's just stand together as one church as we sing this new song and this Tehillah to our God.